Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
This is the second part in a message comparing the virtuous woman of Proverbs chapter 31 with the church. We looked in the last message at verses 10 through 20 and noticed that the similarities between the virtuous woman and the church help us to understand what we are supposed to do in the church a lot better. We noticed in the last study, the churches and the virtuous woman's price, their price is far above rubies, their trust, that is, that their husbands, that is, Jesus and the husband of the virtuous woman, trust them so that there's no need of spoil. In other words, Jesus doesn't have to lavish us with fine gifts and possessions in order to keep us interested in our relationship with him. We notice their good works in verse 12 and their willingness in verse 13, that we should be doing the things we do for the Lord Jesus Christ out of willingness and not out of constraint. Their food, we get our food from afar. The virtuous woman is like the merchant's ship. She gets her food from afar so she can provide her family with the best. We notice their day, both of them work in the nighttime. Their field for us, it's the world. Our strength, which comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, our merchandise, which is eternal life, and our ministry, which is a ministry to the needy. In verse 20, the virtuous woman stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And we also minister to the needy, and I'm not talking about carnal needs. For homeless people, for instance, I'm talking about people that are needy of the Lord Jesus Christ, like the rich young ruler who had everything financially that he could possibly have and knew still that he lacked something. And what he lacked was eternal life. And so though he was wealthy, he was very needy. And we recognize that people around us are very needy for Jesus Christ, for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's our ministry to minister to their need. So if we're going to pick up from there today with verse 21 in Proverbs chapter 31, and we're going to continue the comparisons between the church and the virtuous woman. And by making this comparison of the similarities, I hope that we find the things as the church we should be doing even better than we're doing them as the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today now we're going to notice the churches and the virtuous woman's covering. Verse 21. The Bible says about the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 that she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. You know what? Scarlet is a red material, and the clothing there keeps her family warm in the time of snow, and you and I are covered also with scarlet in that we are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Passover, we notice that the Lord said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you," and by being covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he cannot see our sins. Our sins have truly been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, by his shed blood, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. And you know how that is? The Bible says in Colossians 1:14, through his blood, through his blood. Very rarely, but from time to time, we make comments about the modern Bibles. And I say rarely because we don't want to beat that so hard that you don't get fed well from the many other things that are in the Bible that are profitable to you. But I want you to know that in the modern Bibles, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, through his blood has been removed. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The modern Bibles remove through his blood. May I tell you something? His blood is our scarlet covering, just like scarlet covers the virtuous woman. Without the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have salvation. Without shedding of blood is no remission, the Bible says. Thank God for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also notice from Proverbs chapter 31, now in verse 23, the church's and the virtuous woman's husband. The virtuous woman's husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. You know, our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, is known worldwide and rules among elders. In the Bible, when you find the word elder, it can sometimes refer to an older person, but oftentimes it is in reference to the pastor of a church. And you know something? As long as Jesus Christ rules among the pastors of the churches do well. But when men intervene and boards and committees and bodies of elders become the ruling members of the church, then you know what happens? The bride is no longer loyal to her husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you see problems in the church that were unavoidable if it hadn't been for the influences of those men who should have never been in that position to rule. A wife has one husband, you see, and for the church, that husband is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And he is known in the gates, in spite of the fact that there's a great effort in our country, unfortunately, by well-financed atheistic groups to remove the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ from everything that's public and everything that receives its funding from the government. You're never going to do that. You're never going to succeed in removing the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the days when the disciples were preaching, the Pharisees, the elders, the chief priests said, you can't preach in that name, speaking of Jesus Christ. But they went ahead and preached in the name of Jesus Christ, and to this day we do the same thing. Our husband is known in the gates, and you watch when he returns to this earth. You talk about known. He will rule this world with a rod of iron, and I'm glad that the church still stands for Jesus Christ. We need to do so even more now than ever before. The virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31 is very much like the church. We notice that they have similar coverings and similar husbands, but notice this in verse 24, even similar clothing. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Fine linen. We are clothed in fine linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. When you see the bride, which is the church, the bride of Christ, before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Revelation chapter 19, you see her clothed. And you know how she's clothed? The same way this virtuous woman is. Revelation 19, look at verse 8. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So our clothing is the same. She maketh fine linen, we wear fine linen. And that's the righteousness of the saints. It just reminds us that our righteousness comes to us from the Lord Jesus Christ, and we don't have our own. Paul was talking about righteousness in Philippians chapter 3, and he said, you know, I've done some very good things. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He says in Philippians 3:8, yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That fine linen is indicative of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. When comparing the virtuous woman of Proverbs chapter 31 with the church, we also find in Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 25 that we have similar rejoicing. Similar rejoicing. Look in verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. We as the church will also rejoice in time to come. There's going to be plenty of rejoicing when you receive, for instance, the soul winner's crown at the judgment seat of Christ. We call it the soul winner's crown. Paul called it the crown of rejoicing, the crown of rejoicing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19. And he, you know what he said? He said, what is our joy or crown? Are not even ye at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I didn't quote that very well. I was trying to do that by memory and botch that verse of Scripture. Don't want to do that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul says to the Thessalonians, whom he had led to the Lord Jesus Christ, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? There it is, crown of rejoicing. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Isn't that beautiful? Imagine you're rejoicing when you are crowned, if you've been used by the Lord Jesus Christ to lead a soul or souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. That, as the church, that should still be our foundational principle. We should be about the Scriptures. And the Scriptures are profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. We should be about bringing glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Ephesians, that's where God gets his glory, is from the church. And indeed, that should be so, because by his gift of eternal life, we can be his children. The Bible says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We ought to be about doctrine, about glory to God. We ought to be about souls. The great commission given to us was to lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody's tried to devise some sort of a clever program to remove our personal responsibility from telling our friends, neighbors, family members, and so forth about the Lord Jesus Christ. We come up with programs. We come up with clever systems like lifestyle evangelism and all these other things in order to remove the personal witness. But I'm going to tell you, your personal witness is going to result in great joy in time to come when Jesus arrives. Be about souls. Be about missions, where missionaries can be supported by you to tell others in foreign lands about the Lord Jesus Christ. We will rejoice in time to come if we're busy about those things. The virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31 and the church, the bride of Christ, are very similar in their covering, in their husband, in their clothing, in their rejoicing, and also in their wisdom. Look in verse 26 of Proverbs chapter 31. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, with wisdom. You see that? Now, the wisdom that we have as the church is not man's wisdom. It's not the wisdom gained by webinars and the wisdom gained by conferences and the wisdom gained by men who have come up with new ideas and new books to sell to the body of Christ. Those things all have their place, some good, some bad. But the wisdom that we have and the wisdom that we need is the wisdom that comes from God. It's the wisdom that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And that wisdom that we have confounds the wisdom of this world. Because you see, the Lord said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now we have a wisdom. And the foolishness of God is wiser than men. That wisdom we have comes from the Lord God. It is embodied in Jesus Christ, our Savior, and it comes to us in such a way that no flesh should glory in His presence. That wisdom doesn't draw attention to us. It's used by God to confound the wisdom, to bring to naught the things that are in this world, so that others who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved. So we speak the wisdom of God, and the virtuous woman opens her mouth with wisdom. See the similarity? But that's not all. In verse 26, we find this also. There's a great similarity between the kindness of the virtuous woman and the kindness of the church. In verse 26 of Proverbs chapter 31, the Lord says, "In her tongue is the law of kindness." You say, "Well, I don't feel like a very kind person. Why should I have to be kind when the world's not kind to me?" Well, there's a reason. And if you'll go to Ephesians chapter 4 and look in verse 32, you'll understand the reason. The reason in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, that you and I can be kind even to people who are not thankful and even to people who are our enemies is this. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, 32, "Be ye kind one to another. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So we can be kind because of what God did for us, His kindness to us in allowing us to be forgiven by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we, like the virtuous woman, have the law of kindness in our tongue. I'll tell you, this is a phenomenal study here, because condensed in just a few verses in Proverbs chapter 31, you see all these great similarities between the virtuous woman and the church, and it helps us to understand what we're supposed to be like. We're not to be a doormat and let the world run over us, but we should be kind to the world, that they, through our kindness, might find salvation in Jesus Christ. All right, let's look at another one. In verse 27 of Proverbs chapter 31, we find another similarity between the virtuous woman of Proverbs chapter 31 and the church. Notice their diligence. Their diligence. Look at verse 27. The Bible says about the virtuous woman, "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness." All right? She eateth not the bread of idleness. Do you know something? We are not to be idle. Now, when we consider our position with Jesus Christ, we consider our lives before the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to be involved in some way with service to the Lord Jesus Christ beyond the time you spend with your family, beyond your personal devotions, beyond your work that you do for the glory of God. You ought to be in some service capacity with the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, doing something that allows your church to minister the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost in a better way. You ought to be teaching a Sunday school class. You ought to be a worker in a Sunday school class. You ought to be passing out tracts when your church family goes out on visitation. You ought to be involved in a children's ministry if you're capable and able to be involved in a children's ministry. You ought to be involved in singing. You ought to be involved in cleaning the church building so that it is presentable for lost souls when they come to hear the gospel in your church. Anything that it will allow you to put your hand in with other believers and not be idle in the work of the Lord. Oh, you say, "Well, I'll sit on a committee as long as that committee is in charge of everything and I can get some recognition." I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you putting your hand in with the laborers of the Lord Jesus Christ and not being idle. Too many people go to church now to be entertained, and they remain idle. They give their money, they sit there, somebody says something, they come away, they say, "Oh, that was good, that did me a lot of good," and they live a life that is so separated from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 20, we find a great parable that really looks an awful lot like the time frame in which we're living now. And in that passage, the Lord comes and finds people to work in his vineyard. And at the 11th hour of the day, he comes and he asks people that are still standing there in the marketplace, "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" And that's a good question. I would ask you the same thing. Why stand ye here all the day idle? Huh? You are to be busy working with your hands the thing which is good, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. You ought to be very actively involved in your church's missions program, in your teen ministry. Again, if you're capable and qualified to be involved in that level of ministry with youth, you ought to be helping people as they grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so I'll show you something else that's very similar between the virtuous woman of Proverbs chapter 31 and the church. Look in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. All right. Well, a virtuous woman has children that recognize that she is a blessed woman, and they bless her. And you know something? Through our witnessing and sowing the seed of the Word of God, Jesus Christ brings forth souls. What are you doing to reproduce? What are you doing as a member of the church, as a member of the body of Christ? What are you doing that God can use to bring forth souls, to bring forth children to the Lord God? You ought to be very busy about that, because we are the organism. The church is the organism God uses to bring forth children to Him. In verse 29 of Proverbs chapter 31, we find another similarity between the virtuous woman and the church. This time we see the similarity is their excellence. Look at verse 29. "Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all." Well, the Bible tells us that we are going to be without spot or wrinkle. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, we're washed by the Word of God, that God may present the bride to Jesus Christ, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it, that is, the church, with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now that's excellent. The virtuous woman, according to verse 29 in Proverbs chapter 31, excellest all of the virtuous women, and the church excels all of the virtuous women in the world. That's God's bride for His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be clean. We should be spotless. We should be striving for a perfection through the Word of God, through the presence of the Spirit of God in our lives, whereby Jesus Christ is able to live His life in us and bring forth an excellence that is way beyond the human capacity. Notice something else. The virtuous woman of Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 30 fears the Lord, and the church should too. "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." Now, you know what? The fear of God is our wisdom. Earlier we talked about the wisdom of the church. Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is our wisdom. And it is also the basis for our relationship with God. The Bible tells us in Philippians that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. People say, "Well, I just don't believe in fearing God now that I'm saved." Well, then that's your problem. Because Paul said the type of fear that you are to have is not an awe or a reverence for the Lord God. He said it goes beyond that. Those were certainly included, but it goes beyond that. He said you are to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's a knee-knocking fear right there. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when he tells us about appearing before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, so that we can give account of everything done in our body, whether it's good or bad. He said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You hear that? This woman fears the Lord, and we should fear the Lord as the bride of Christ. And I'll tell you, the church is getting away from that. The world is dictating the church's doctrine and philosophies rather than God, and that's because the church has given up in many capacities the fear of God. And then notice one other thing. The similarity between the virtuous woman and the church includes the similarity of their reward. Look in verse 31 of Proverbs chapter 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. That's her reward. Do you know something? The bride of Christ will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. And I realize there are losses. There are things you can lose. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, the Bible says? There are losses. There are many things. All the wood, hay, and stubble burn up at the judgment seat of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. They all burn up. There are many losses at the judgment seat of Christ, but there are also rewards. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. May I tell you something? The virtuous woman in Proverbs chapter 31 is a great testimony to us about what we should be doing. She gets the fruit of her hands, and we get the reward of our labor in gold, silver, and precious stones for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should be very busy in serving Him for that reward. Let me conclude by saying that in this lesson, the virtuous woman and the church are very similar in their covering, their husband, their clothing, their rejoicing, their wisdom, their kindness, their diligence, their children, their excellence, their fear, and their reward. Be mindful of these things as you think of the church. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.